There we go. All right. Man, isn't this fun? We lose some people. It really shows me and we here. And so Dan's going to share, but I am going to church. You know, Evie and Steve are from Florida, right? Orlando. And they gave me a church. She's got a family member that goes to church there. So I already got a church. I know right where it's at. And so we're going to be in church next Sunday. So I expect you guys to be in church next Sunday. Even though I may not be here, I expect you guys to be in church. I don't know where I'm going to go to following Sunday yet. It just depends on where we're at on the highway coming home. But what I wanted to share this morning, this week, Laura and I had a chance to go to Jeunesse Park, our campground up there. I was thinking about that. I had been going to that campground for 40 years. Now, we kind of had a 10-year span there. I didn't get to go up there, but for 40 years, I went there. That's where I dated Laura. We got in trouble for holding hands, and, you know, it was just, that was where the times. But I was there. We got to teach these college students. I had a chance to instruct them on Vacation Bible School and get ready for Vacation Bible School. And as I was, I had to have an opportunity to do a devotional for them, and I was kind of thinking of what to say. And as I was looking over things, I realized something. Come August 1st, I will be at this church 31 years. November, I'm not going to tell you what day in November. Come November, I will turn 60. I know I look 35. Why'd you guys laugh at that? All right. Laura said dog years. Yeah, thanks. Laura's helpful. Yeah. And so I was going, you know what? I have been pastor of this church for over half my life. That's a long time. The average pastor stays 4 years. And I've been here for half my life. And I want you to know, I love this church. But when I say I love the church, I tell you this all the time. It's not about a building. Because, you know, if it was a building, we'd still have an old blue building sitting here. Yeah, I kind of thought about our church, and we met in the blue building, and for 15 of those 30 years, guess what? We were a portable church. For half the time that I've been here, we've been a portable. We met over here at Slide Elementary School for a couple of years, and then when they decided to remodel that school, we went to the middle school. And I kind of looked over this, and I wanted to think about us, the church. And I chose the sermon title, Me to We. It's not about me, it's about we. And I want to give this church some really credit. When I'm talking about that, I'm talking about you. I want to give some, I don't know if it's kudos or encouragement or some good words. Like I said, I kind of shared this a little bit the other Sunday. When I came to this area, there were some larger Southern Baptist churches in the area. Not much bigger. You know, they had 100 members or so, but they were larger churches than we were. 35 people is what we were having there for quite a while. And nowadays, they're very small. And I hate to say it, they're kind of dying. And it's sad. Good churches, churches that made a difference in people's lives in the 50s and 60s and 70s. But they didn't change. They didn't move. And I want to tell you, you know, I give so much credit. I want to make sure this church understands how much credit and honor I think this church owes to individuals such as Martha and Rose, and some that have gone on to be with the Lord, Mozella Brown, Glenn Wittenberg, Bill Yandel, some of these other that have gone on to be with the Lord, that were willing to make some decisions that it's not about me, it's about we. They were willing to make those decisions. This is not a very traditional music we sing in this church. There's not much tradition. As a matter of fact, we're making our own new traditions, aren't we? And we're creating our new traditions. Because we desire to make a difference. When I visit with people and I talk with people, the exciting thing about this church is the future is here. You know, I look around and look at our worship team and look how young they are. I'm going to give them kudos for being young. That includes you, Bud and Dale. That includes you guys. You're all young up here. You know? Yeah. Our Vacation Bible School ran by a young man in his 20s. Our nursery ran by a young lady in her 20s. And I look at the youth in our church, and I look at these young individuals that some of you have been in this church your whole life. You know, it's not just 30 years for you. You've been here your whole life. You know? But what I want to say and what I encourage is it's not about me. It's about we. And I want to make sure we keep that image. Some churches get caught up in their building, and I'm going to tell you, we are blessed with this building. It is really a blessing to have this. And I look around, and it's like, well, we're kind of skimpy today. You know, some of our people are missing, and where's everybody at? And, you know, we kind of look around and kind of wonder those things. But I got to tell you something. God has put this building, and all of us that know the journey we went to get this building, is no doubt that God had his hand in bringing this about. You know, there's no doubt that God created the opportunity for this building to be. So if God creates the opportunity for this building to be here, it means, guess what? He's going to do something with it. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. And so that's the picture God has for us. So this morning, I want to make sure we come kind of, let's look at this me and we, that it's not about me. And let's make sure we keep our focus in the right way. Because I think it's so easy. Because this is my concern for me. I've shared, there was a gentleman when I first became a Christian back in the 70s, and I bought his book, a really good Christian man. He was one of the founders of bringing Southern Baptists out to California. His name was Floyd Looney, a great man. Really enjoyed, good preacher, good man, did good work for God. And he would say this to us, and I remember him sitting there when he was preaching, and he'd say, I hope I die before I become a grouchy old man. He would say that. And he meant that. The sad thing was, he didn't. He didn't pass away. And I'd go to the convention, and Martha and some of them could testify. I would go to the convention, and the microphone would get on, and he'd get up to the microphone, and he would start critical and complaining and have some very sad things to say. But all of us that knew him knew that wasn't his heart. That wasn't the man he wanted to be when he was that age. And so as I look at myself, and like I say, this has been a hard year for me, and I feel good about my life, and I feel good about who I am and where I've been and what I've accomplished, but I'm turning 60. Yeah, it's like, now 60's not old anymore, all right? You need to understand that. Yeah, but I hope, I'm kind of like Floyd Looney. I hope I have the ability to do what Martha and Rose and Mary Bruner and Ken and Bill and Glenn and all these people did, is let the church change. Because you need to know, I don't know what the future is going to be. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we'll start seeing some wrap up here pretty soon. Yeah. Linda? Okay, Chris is going to do it. All right. I don't know. But my prayer is that it's not about me. That it's about we. I love Salida. When I finished school, I prayed that God would give me a place I could spend my life and raise my family. And I feel blessed that I've been able to do it in Salida. I love this town. You know, I'm on all these committees. I'm on all these kind of things because I love this town. But see, I want to make sure we understand that Centerpoint First Baptist Church is not an institution. It's people. And it's people with issues. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. You know, it's people that's had the joys of life and the triumphs and yet have been through the sad and tragedies and struggles of life. It's real people who've experienced life, who've went and fought those battles and endured those experiences, that our church is a real church of people. And that and this journey that we're in this together, and that we're here for one another, and that we're here with each other, and that we're going to support and encourage, because life is messy, and if life is messy, we're going to be messy. And I got news for you. As long as you're going to be in this church with me, it's going to be a messy church. Because that's just who we are. Because of life. And I like what this one church has, this campaign, and I hear other churches using the same wording. No perfect people allowed. But don't stay that way. And I like that. So what I kind of challenge this morning is, what does it take to be that kind of a church? What's it going to take for us to be, like I said, I've been here, it's 30 plus years of my life. This is over half my life. Where are we going from here? You know, I was sharing with Dan, we were talking yesterday. I don't know, you know, you hear me talk about retirement. The chance of me retiring are really slim. You guys are going to watch me die right here. You know? Because that's just going to be, I don't see me doing anything else. unless they hire me at Disneyland to be preacher. All right? Now, if Disneyland offered me to be a preacher, you guys might be saying bye, all right? That I don't know, because I love Salida. I love you people. This is my family. You guys are my family. You know, and I want to see that, and I want to encourage that, and I just want to say that. And if you're living a tough life, I want to know, you're welcome. If you're living a messed up life, you're welcome. I'm glad you're here. Join the rest of us. You know, life is tough, and it's messy. And the sad thing is, it's always going to be that way. And so when we gather as a church, I want you to know that it's going to be a messy place in here. You know, it's just going to, because we got messy lives. And that's going to be okay, but we're going to do it together. See, that's what's amazing about a church, is we do it together. So I have this little outline I want to run through real quick. And I want to run through real quick because I want to get on the road. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah. So when I see that thing slash 40, I know I'm in trouble, all right? You need to know they signal me with my time back there to help me stay on track. If you get your little outline out, I put it this way. I'm going to talk about raising a bar. So we're going to look at the B. We're going to raise the bar in our church. We're going to be the church. I want us to be the church. It's not a building. It's not this building. It wasn't Salida Elementary School. It wasn't Salida Middle School. Just so you know, it wasn't a tent that was on this property when this church got started. I read the history of this church. Floyd Looney wrote that history. And the history of this church is when they started here, they started in a tent on this property. Now, they met in a Maple Leaf Hall down the road here. This church has been everywhere. So it's not about a building. It's not about this structure. It's about the people. And it's about us being real and us being God's people and being about what God wants. And that's my challenge. And will we do that? And will we be God's people? And I got a verse here a statement. Here's the statement I put down for us as a church. The number of people being the church in their neighborhood, school, cafes, and around town 7 days a week will outnumber the number of casual Christians just going to church. That's what I want. I've been here 30 years. From now on, that's where I want us to go. I want us, when I'm sitting down at Salida Country Kitchen, to be a different kind of Christian. When I'm walking around the mall, to be a different kind of Christian. That's what I want. I want us as a church to be producing Christians who are different. Not just casual Christians. I go to church on Sunday and raise hell on Monday, all right? So I don't go to, you know, I hate to say it that way, but anybody know Christians like that? Don't raise your hand. We don't want to embarrass. Don't look around either. Yeah. But I want us to be committed. I want us to make a difference in this world. And I want us to be different. Those on the worship team know when I pray with the worship team over there, that's one of my prayers. That they will see something different in us, that we have been with Jesus. And here's the image. I want to kind of paint the image for you. Anybody know a guy named Moses in the Bible? Anybody? Anybody? All right, you know the guy named Moses. Moses in the Bible went up the hill, not to fetch a pail of water. All right. To get a couple of tablets called the Ten Commandments. You guys are with me, all right. He went up to get some Ten Commandments. And he had been with God, right? He had been in the presence of God. You know, and when he came down, now he had done this several times. You need to know that because he came down and he got mad and threw him down. Now, I'll tell you, how'd you like to be the one who broke all Ten Commandments in the same day in the same minute? He did. You know? But he kept going back and forth with God. And he had been with God because he kept going back and forth with God. And when he came down, guess what happened? I want you to look at this verse here. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Now, just so you know, this is the second time. You know, after he broke them the first time, he had to go back and get them the second time. As he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. See, I want people to see something different in us because we have been with God. See, that's my prayer. You know, one of my prayers, and I, as a preacher, you try to create acrostics and words like bar this morning, and I have these E's for church. My E's for church on worship service is this, that you will come to church this morning and you will encounter God. That it will be an experience in your life. That you will be encouraged and leave this place excited. That you'll be different. There'll be something different about you. Now, that's my challenge for us as a church. that we gather as God's people. And when we walk out of this place, we are different. And somebody sees something different. I became a Christian because I was washing cars on a Saturday with a youth group, and there was something different in that youth group. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. You know, Laura's sister was there. My cousins were there. Her brother-in-law was there. There was something different with all those kids. I didn't know what it was, but there was just something different. On a Saturday at a car wash. And so then I start going to church. And then my cousin says, you know what that difference is? That difference is Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with him. See, that's what I want us to be different in this world. I want this church to be producing a different kind of Christian than most people think of when they hear the word Christian. That we're really shine for God. That they see something. So what's it going to take? So I have just five values real quick. I put these five values down here that I think if we're going to do that, this is what it's going to take. We need to value love. And that means people matter. I want to value love. Now, how many people are familiar with John 3:16? Anybody know John 3:16? I see a few hands pop up. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Good verse to memorize, right? God loves people. Wouldn't that be people? The world? Isn't that talking about people? God loves people. He sent his Son. He loved him so much, he needed a relationship and desired a relationship with us, and he sent his Son to have that relationship. So what does that say about us loving others? Matter of fact, Jesus said it, isn't it? Didn't he? Look at the next verse right here. Look at the verse. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. And I like the conversation. I really wanted to go in depth in this one. I talk about who's your neighbor. Isn't that what the guy said? Well, which neighbor? The one I like or the one I don't like, right? Come on. You know? Which neighbor? You know, can I pick and choose which neighbor I want to love? Yeah. Do we love others? Is love a characteristic of who we are? Do we love others? I like this next passage. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, I'm going to stop right there real quick. I like the way he worded this. This is real important. Anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother. So that's really nice. It doesn't say I have to love others. I just don't have to hate. I just can't hate them, right? Come on. It didn't say I had to love them. It says I just don't have, I can't hate them. But just in case you don't get it, I love the way he worded this, because look what he says after that. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Just in case you didn't get it, I love the way he said, you can't hate your brother. But now just wait a minute. Not only can you not hate him, you got to love him. But see, what we like to say is, I don't like him, but I love him. You ever try? Anybody play that game? You know, I don't have to like them, but I'll love them. You think God would buy that one? Yeah. See, I want this church to be a place where love is characterized by us. That whoever walks through those doors, we can say honestly and heartfeltly, we love them. No matter what their past is, no matter what their journey took them on, no matter what they're trapped in, no matter what they've experienced, that they're different, that we love them and that we care for them and we want a better life for them. That's my heart. And that we do that with one another. Because I am sure, just in case you don't know, I am sure since I have been here 30 plus years that I have probably hurt some people. Maybe even some of you. But ha-ha, you got to love me. I'll say I'm sorry. And I'll apologize, and I have made some apologies. I probably need to make more. If I am aware, I guarantee I will apologize. But I want to tell you something. I love you guys. I love this church. And when I say the church, it's not a building, because we didn't even have this building when I came. I love the people. I love Salida. Salida is different. I tell people all the time, when you cross those train tracks out there, it's different on this side of the train. Anybody agree? It's different on this side of the train tracks, or is it just me? It's different. I love Salida. And I want to see those people out there in here. I got neighbors I want to see know Jesus Christ. I got friends I want to see know Jesus. I got family I want to see know Jesus Christ. Anybody in that boat with me? And so we got to love them. They will know you are my disciples by how often you go to church. Isn't that good? Isn't that what it says? They will know you're my disciples by how many verses you can quote. They will know you're my disciples by your love for one. I want this place to be a place of love. Second point, if we're going to be a church that makes a difference, is we value impact, whatever it takes. We value impact. We want to make a difference. And again, I want to give great praise to this church. We have tried to impact Salida from almost the time I came. We went door to door and gave out Bibles to every house in sight. Is that trying to make an impact? Knocked on every door and said, would you like a Bible? And if they said yes, can I share you something in the Bible? On the plan of salvation. It was a great time. I had a lot of fun with that one. Yeah. I was telling Ronnie the other day, I think about Mary, May, his mother. And we're trying to pass out these Bibles. I had went around and got all the addresses, had the Bibles all bagged up in bags. And May couldn't get out and walk. But May had her big old car with a great big trunk. Remember the big, she had one of those old, remember the old cars with a great big trunk? And we put all the bags in the back of her car, and she would go to the next corner and wait for us to get down to the corner. We'd pick out a bag and go down and pass out. And it was all just, and she would drive. We wanted to make an impact in Salida. We called every home in Salida when that was a big deal. I don't like phone calls now. Anybody get tired of those phone calls? But before that became a headache, we were doing that. We called every home in Salida and said, can we send you some stuff? We did simultaneous revivals. We went door to door for Vacation Bibles. As a matter of fact, we're going to go door to door for VBS again this year. We want to make an impact in Salida. Whatever, I'm going to tell you, I want to do anything short of sin to make a difference in Salida. Whatever it takes. And that's why I say, I hope I have a heart, because I don't know what the church is going to look like in the future. I don't know what kind of music they're going to do, you know, what kind of band they're going to have. I don't know if the preacher's going to preach in a suit. Where my generation, we kind of, let's get out of the suit. You know, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I want to make a difference. I want to have an impact in Salida. And I like how Paul says this. Although I am a free man and not anyone's slave, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. Now, you see what he's saying? Me to we. Do you get the picture there? Me to we. You see the connection? To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, not being without God's law, but within Christ's law, to win those without the law. Doesn't it get confusing? Don't you like the way Paul writes? You know, it's like, but what he's saying, he really summarizes it right here. To the weak, I become weak in order to win the weak. And here it is. I have become all things to all people so that by every possible means save some. Now I do this because of the gospel so I may become a partner in its benefits. He's saying, I'm all things to all men that by all possible means I might save some. He's going to do whatever it is to reach. I want to challenge us as a church. Are we going to do whatever it takes? Yeah. Let me give you a little guarantee here. I'm guessing. We're going to go door to door for VBS July on a Saturday. I think you're going to have a nice spring day to pass out flyers. What do you think? It might be a little warm that day. Are we willing to be uncomfortable, whatever it takes, to have an impact in Salida? I shared with you one of the little girls that really never came to church but came to Vacation Bible School. Came up to me after graduation in the prayer at graduation at Salida Middle School and says, do you remember me? And it's like, well, not really. Yeah. It was Tara Nelms, who lived right down the street here, on this road right here, but never really came to church. She had family. We tried and worked and ministered to them. And But she came to Vacation Bible School. Now she's going to church on the east side of Modesto. It made an impact on her life. And I just go down and I've shared with you guys the difference. That's what I want this church. We need to value that impact, whatever it takes. It might be uncomfortable for us. It might be different for us. I think about how different church is. You know, sometimes, just so you get the idea, sometimes I think, you know what, it'd been a lot easier if we still had our little blue church and I had Mary and Martha and Bill and Rose and we just had our little church. We had 30-some-odd people and I could just have fun. See, my prayer is, and I've talked to Dan, I've talked to some of the other men in the church, I don't want to cruise in my retirement. I don't want to just kind of, well, I'm 60 years old, I'm just going to kind of cruise till I can retire. I don't want to do that. I want to turn Salida upside down. I want Salida to know this church is here. You know me, my dream is, I want 10 acres for this church for the future somewhere over here on the west side. My second thing is this. If I can't get the 10 acres, I want to buy every property down Broadway here. So when somebody pulls off the freeway, they're driving through our church all the way down. You know, we got youth services over here, and we got, you know, children's ministries on this side of the road, and you drive down, and maybe we'll even buy the park. I don't know. Yeah. I'm serious. I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact in Salida. That's one of my values, and I think our church needs to have that value. Another value here, we value steps. Which way are your feet pointed? This one's important to me because I want to make sure I emphasize this. Being a Christian is a process. Being a Christian is a process. You need to know, I was sharing again just the other day, I was going up to Jeunesse Park and I listened to guys preach on their things and I'm doing all sorts of stuff. I'm still learning some things. I met with Dan yesterday. I was telling Dan some things. I just learned some things just last week. I've went to Bible college, master's program, doctorate program, tremendous trainings, all sorts of events of training, and I'm still learning. I'm in a process. It's a process of becoming more like Christ. This is why it's messy, because nobody's perfect, and we're not going to get there. But you need to know, I am going to Disney World. I will meet Mary Poppins. And I will get my picture with two practically perfect people. That's her and I. All right? Yeah. But we're not there. Practically, what does that mean? We're messy. Life's messy. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to mess up. But it's a process. Look at what it says here. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are too. Now listen, grow up in every way. Grow up. Anybody ever tell a kid that? Maybe do we need to say that to ourselves? I need to grow up in Christ. I need to grow up in Christ. From whom the whole body joined and held together in every joint with which it is equipped, which each part is working properly makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you see how it all ties together? It's a process. And that's why, you know, as our church, we have this intentional, we have class 101 and class 201 and class 301, an intentional process of growing in Christ, an intentional process of becoming more like Christ. Because it's a process. I give you the word sanctification because that's what God calls it. That's the biblical word. The process of being made holy, resulting in a changed lifestyle for the believer. It's the process. You know, when Christians mess up, it shouldn't surprise us. It should break our heart. Does that make a difference? It shouldn't surprise us when somebody, it should break our heart that we want to step in and help. And so I want to encourage us, it's a process. And I want our church, it's an intentional process. You're going to hear us, you know, you hear me talk. I do class 101, and Ron's got some material for class 201, and Dan's going to be doing class 301. And we used to do that pretty consistently, and we're going to get back to that. Because it's a process of what we need to do. Let's go on. We value team. We is better than me. There's something about being together with others. And I like this. Each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself with others. Then he can be proud of what he himself has done. Each person must be responsible for himself. Now, hear that. You're responsible for yourself. Anyone who is learning the teaching of God should share all the good things he has with his teacher. But then you got to share it with others. You get the picture here? It's not only for you, it's for others. See, we're better together. There's support. There's something about being with others. Anybody ever watch the show Family Feud? Anybody ever watch that show called Family Feud? Yeah. That whole show is based on that principle that you're better together. You know more together than you know by yourself. There's a collective intelligence. And that's what we need to see. We're here to support. We're here to encourage. We're here to walk with. Because we do fall. We do stumble. We do mess up. But we're there for one. And so we value the team. And the last one is we value truth. It dares you to see things differently. The Bible, this book, is absolute truth. I'll use some words that we don't hear too much anymore. It's called inerrant, the infallible word of God. I like the way one of the writers put it one time. It's truth without mixture of error. It's God's word. This is the truth. We value the truth. And we value that because we want to see things differently. You might write this in there somewhere, a biblical world view. We want to see the world different. We're in a country right now that does not have a biblical worldview. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Our country right now has pretty much thrown the Bible away. And so we're going to be different. We're not going to be like everybody else. We're not going to buy into the political correctness, the culture Kool-Aid, let's put it that way. We're not going to buy, we're going to be different. I'm not going to be like everybody else. We read these churches that are compromising, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand on this word. And maybe someday you'll have to visit me in jail, but I'll go to jail for what this Bible says. I'm going to be different, and I want this church to be different. Now, I preached some messages not long ago because we got to do it because we got to go back to that first point. What's that first point? What was our value number one? Somebody tell me. Value number one. Is anybody here? You know, this is recorded. They're going to hear this. They're going to go, nobody was in church that morning. Value number one says people matter, right? Love. So we're going to be different, but we're going to be different with love. Does that make sense? You see how these things all work together? They're woven together. See, that's the kind of church I want us to be. It's people matter, and we got truth, and we got teamwork, and it's a process, and we're making steps. It's real people facing real life issues and struggling through life, but doing it together. Do you see how that works? Isn't life better together? Doesn't it have more meaning? Doesn't it have more purpose? Doesn't it have more fulfillment? Doesn't there more joy when life is done together? So that's what I want the church to be. So that's the B on the bar. We're going to raise the bar of our church. How about an A for the bar? I'm going to put it this way. We're going to activate the members. I'm going to pick up the pace. We're going to activate the members. All right? We need to get involved. Look at what it says. We will equip Christ followers to leverage their lives in the church, the home, the workplace, and school. We want to make a difference in our community. We want to make a difference in our little world. You have a sphere, you need to understand something. You have a sphere of influence. Some of us have a bigger sphere of influence, and some of us have a smaller world. But you have a sphere, you have neighbors, a sphere of influence. You have a workplace, a sphere of influence. You have school, you have a sphere of influence. You have a family, you have a sphere of influence. And I want to activate us as members of this church to be a part of something. Not some institution, but a people on the move for God, a people in a movement and making something happen. Look at what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that anyone can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Now catch this. Created in Christ Jesus for, underline that, good works, which God, again, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That God created us for good works. God didn't create us so you can make a living and support your family. Buy the nice car, the big home, put food on the table, clothes on your back. God didn't equip you to do that. He equipped you to make a difference for Him. And the joy is we get to do that and make a living too. See, and that's what we need to see. We need to do this. I want to make sure you understand, everyone is special. Did you know that? Everyone is special. Every one of us. And so what I want to do is we're going to activate the mirror. I put it this way. Everyone needs to get connected. Everyone needs to get connected. I'm going to be real specific here. You need to be in church every Sunday. Do you hear me? Every Sunday you need to be in church. This is your family. This is your support. This is your encouragement. This is where you need to be every Sunday. You need to connect with the church. You need to be part of the church. And you're valuable. You have worth. You have something to contribute here. You know, there's tons of things. I'm going to get down there in a minute, but there's all sorts of stuff. But you need to connect a weekly belonging to a church. The second thing I put here is you need to study the Bible. You need to be in a small group every week. You ever hear this in our church before, or is this news to you? I hope you've heard this many times. You need to get into God's work every week. This is what I'm excited about. This is one thing that I think is positive about the changes. There's a little negative to it, but I think it's positive about the changes, is that we used to have only Wednesday night service. Now, we need our prayer meeting. We do that at 9:30. And you, some of you need to be there, all right? Some of you need prayer, right? Anybody here need prayer? All right. Come at 9:30. We'll pray for you. You can pray with us. You don't even have to say a word. You know, God knows your heart. You know. But we have Wednesday. What I'm excited about, and this is one of the positive things I see about the changes the church has made real positive, is we got Bible studies every night of the week. There's no excuse. Well, I can't meet. Well, what can't? When can you meet? You want Thursday morning? Guess what? There is somebody there Thursday morning. You need Monday night? Oh, you need Tuesday? Oh, you need Wednesday? So if you're sitting here this morning and say, I don't have a group, I'm going to say it this way. You're lying. Though you're sitting down, you know, there's a place. You need to be in Bible study. I want to activate the members into Bible study. The next one I put down here is volunteer. You got to volunteer. You got to get involved. You got to volunteer. Be a part. You know, we got people back in the back. Stephen Evie's not here today, and Dan and Jacob back there are. I remembered his name. Don't think I forgot his name. You know, they're running, and Delmyra's in there too. That they're there, but we need others. We need others. We got a young man that just made a decision for Christ, and he's already stepping up, wanting to do more. I'm excited about that. I think it's sad when we get new Christians that want to do more than us older Christians. Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. You got comfortable chairs instead of metal chairs. Now you guys just want to sit around. Am I being mean there? I'm sorry. I apologize. Nah, I'm not. Yeah. Find a place to plug in. We're going to have Awanas pretty soon. We got our vacation Bible school coming up. We got a worship team. You know, you can see some of our young ones are missing, you know, that could always... You know, we got the sound booth, we got children's worship, we got nursery workers. We're going to have a booth for our town and country fair. We got a fireworks booth coming up. We've got Love Salida. I mean, I could go on. There's tons of things to do. I'm excited because one of the things, I'm going to put a push on it, really worked well last year. We did our town and country fair booth, and we put little prayer cards out. We got about 20 of them, I think, last year. It was surprising that we didn't, you know. And so this year, I'm going to challenge some of you need to come down to the church that day. Though you can't sit out in the sun, I'll put you in an air conditioning room, and you can pray for those cards that we're going to collect out there. Does that sound okay? Yeah. I was the one that going in there and getting on my knees. I guess there's a kneeling thing. Anybody go in the prayer room? There's a kneeling bench in there. Yeah. I want to encourage you. Volunteer. Become a part. The last one is this, contribute. And yes, I'm going to talk about money. Yeah. We need to contribute. We need to give. This is our church. Yeah. And we need to be part of what God is doing here. You know, there's a big Bible word that scares a lot of people. Anybody know it starts with a T? Boy, you guys, I didn't have to say any more than that. It's called tithe. Boy, that one, everybody knew that word was coming. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with tithing. It's biblical. Yeah. But we need to give. You know, you can't give until you tithe. Did you know that? You are not giving until you're tithing. And then after you give a tithe, then you can give an offering. Did you know that? It gets confusing sometimes. Yeah. But I want to tell you, this church has been a generous church. I give this church, look at what this, I mean, I can't say any more than that. This church has been and is a generous church. And God is, but I still got to mention it, okay? Because we still need to keep it up front and before us, because we're all in process. And so we need to be who God called us to be. So we need to, see, I want to activate the members. That's what I want to do. This, you know, like I said, I realized I was setting up a camp. You know, I've been there 30 years. Where am I going to go from here? Well, listen, I want to be the church. Here's our values. I want to activate the members. Here's what we're going to do. And the last thing I put down here is I want to reproduce ourselves. I want to reproduce ourselves. You know, every follower, look what I put it this way. Every follower of Jesus will be a reproducing follower of Jesus. Every one of us. Now, that might be scary, but let me kind of back up and kind of take some of the scariness out of this. You know, I read that. Here's what Paul said. This, and I'm going to be honest, it is scary. Follow my example. As I follow the example of Christ. Follow Gary's example as he drives down the freeway. Ugh, that one hurts. See, that's what we're afraid of. You know that, you know what I'm saying? That's what we're afraid of. Well, I'm not a very good example. You know what? I am messed up. I have a lot of things under control. I can control a lot of stuff. But that attitude when I get behind the steering wheel of a car is not good. Because that last part, as I follow the example of Christ, I don't think Christ would drive like I do. I got to work on that. You know, Laura always complains because all I do is complain about the other drivers. Laura said, "Just I hate riding with you because all you do is complain about the other drivers." Well, I said, when they're stupid, what do you expect? I got to work in this. This is an area, and you need to know, I don't make any excuses for it, and I kind of laugh about it, but it is serious, because it's not right, and when it's not right, it is called, oh man, don't call it. Oh, I told you not to say it. Yeah, it's sin, you know, but we all do, see, and we're afraid to be an example. Let me tell you, we need to be examples. They were giving me a bad time. I drove Steve and Evie and all their clan to drop them off at the port. Drive to San Francisco with those drivers. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And they were surprised at how well I behaved. Because I did, again, pretty good. Yeah. Until you get over the Altamont Pass and, oh, man. But I think about that. I've never forgot the one time. I drive down here. I cross over Palindale Bridge. They're going to replace. Don't go that way. It's a mess. But I drive over that bridge, and I come down. I'm going down the other side. Jeremiah's in the back, strapped in a car seat. And I call this driver stupid. Oh, that stupid idiot. Next thing I hear is, stupid, 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 stupid. Jeremiah! Where did he learn that? Whose example was he following? Yeah, Laura, thank you. Yeah. We need to understand we are an example. Let me give you a word. Write this word down. Mentor. That's today's word. In the old day, we would have called this a Paul and Timothy relationship. Today we're calling it, we need to find people. Some of you who are mature Christians, or none of us are maturing Christians. We need to step alongside some of these kids and some of these younger adults in our church and mentor them. Not because we're perfect, but be honestly, we're messy and say, I mess up here, but let me help you make some better, and let me walk with you so you can learn. We need to mentor some of these teenage kids. We need to step alongside some of these children. I go back, and this is burned in my mind. I can see Martha, and I got pictures of Martha, and I got pictures of Marianne's little girl, Diane, and Jeremiah, in Martha's lap, singing them Christian songs in the nursery. Does it make a difference? You know, that's mentoring. See, I want to see, how about us? You know, are we an example? We need to work at it. More is caught than taught. My kids remember that. You know, and we need to see that. There's this power in that. And being yourself. And being honest. Because that way, you know, when I'm honest about my mistake, you know, when I tell you these things I screw up at, it's not because I want to brag about them, because I shouldn't be bragging. That's sin. But I want to be open and honest. These are the battles I fight. I don't know what your battle is. I don't know where your battle is. Now, you can maybe say you don't have one. I'm going to say, you better rethink that. I can't think of another way to say it. Yeah. Because we all have these battles. But I'm just honest with mine. Will you be honest with yours and do this? But we need to be those examples. But also, I want to make sure you know this. We also need to be telling others about Jesus Christ. You need to be sharing the news of Jesus Christ. I've made it as simple as I can, and some of you know it. Without even knowing it, you know it, all right? You've got the words to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and you know it, and you might not even know you know it. It's really simple. It goes like this. You got to reach a point in your life where you tell somebody, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. If you know that, you know how to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Did you know that? It's that simple. That's what it is. Look what it says. That you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Why don't you circle will be? You will be. You are a witness for Jesus. You are a witness for Jesus. So take advantage. Again, I think we miss those chances. I think people ask us all the time to tell them about Jesus. We don't even know it. Why are you so happy? You know, how are you dealing with that? You know, my mom passes away. I get the phone call 15 minutes before I'm supposed to preach. How do you deal with that? You know, somebody asked me that. Well, guess what? You're saying, let me tell you about Jesus is what you're asking me to tell you. Because that's the only way I could deal with that. You know, that's the same thing in your life. Somebody says, why are you so happy today? Why do you got that smile on your face? My life screwed up. Well, my life screwed up too, but I know Jesus, and he's straightening it out. Yeah. See, that's what we need. We just need to be aware of those opportunities. But that's what church is supposed to be about. And I thought this was the best verse to scriptures to end on, because I really think this is what I want our church to be. Life is messy. Life is tough. But this is what it's all about. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. I like that. I want to succeed. Anybody want to succeed in life? I guess I'm the only one. Oh, I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I see a few. 5, 6, 7. Okay. So I got 7 out of, I don't know how many is here that want to succeed. All right. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help them. But someone who falls alone is in a real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And now I ask, how much better when it's a church braided together? Not two, not three, but a family of God braided together. How much better to be that? That's what I want to challenge our church. You know, I'm going to take off for a couple of weeks, but I want you to know something. This is my church. This is my heart. Dan knows how much pressure I put on Dan. I've talked to Linda. This is like a baby to me that I'm handing off right now, and this is stressful. 2 weeks in a row that I'm not going to be here. I've missed 1 week. I've never missed two. You know, this is hard because this is my heartbeat. I love this church. I love you guys. I love this place, and I trust these guys, and I trust you guys. But I want us to be a family, braided together. Life is messy. We're going to fall. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We're going to stumble. Life has its battles. But when we walk together, there's something about it. So I put it at the bottom. There would be no we without you. There'd be no we without you. I want to say thank you for letting me be the pastor. I'm having a great journey. I'm having a lot of fun. I hope you're enjoying it. But we're not done. That's what I want this message to be. We're not done. I don't know where God's going to take us. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm in it till the Lord comes or I die. That's the two choices we have. But this is what I want our church to be. Can you be a part of that? Will you be part of the we? Of we making a difference in Salida? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you created the church, Lord. The church is not my idea, and it's not some man's idea and some creation of individuals getting together saying, let's start a church. The church is in the mind of God. It's in the heart of God. And this church, as you call it in the Bible, Lord, is the bride of Christ. You love this church, and you love that church as the people in it, Lord. We're not worthy, but you love us. Lord, I want to be a church that makes a difference in Salida. I want to be a part of a movement, not an institution, not a building, but a people, real people making a difference. So I pray for these here, Lord, that we will be real, that we will connect, that we will be part in Bible study, that we'll volunteer, that we'll contribute, and that we'll be a church that values people and truth. Lord, you be God, and we be your people. We love you with all our heart, our might, and our strength. And we love our neighbor, whoever that may be, in Jesus' name. Amen.